Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Everybody who's watching on the stream, let's welcome them, shall we, from different countries around the world. We have, I think it's over 80 nations, is that right? 86 nations, something up, you know, watching on the internet any given Sunday, which is pretty awesome, isn't it? And we want to apologise. The last couple of Sundays, there's been a few glitches with the actual live streaming, but it's all back to normal now. So we want to welcome you and pray that you have a great time with us this morning. How many of you are happy?
Yes.
Come on. You know, we have the best life there is possible on the face of the earth to live because you've got Jesus in your life. Come on, you're going to do some work this morning. I'm not just going to chat and sit there and listen. And what's he going to say this morning? Will it be interesting? Will it be better than his wife's preach last week? How many of you were here last week? My wife told me it was an awesome word. Now, I've had loads of people tell me this week, your wife was amazing, God did loads of me, he really spoke to me, he did all sorts of stuff. Praise God, eh? Yeah. It's great to be married. We had our 21st wedding anniversary on Friday, which is good. So we went up to London and we went to Les Miserables, you know the thing in the evening, the theatre. It was great, good show. If you haven't seen it, it's worth going to have a look. It's got a great, it's a very moral thing all the way running through, but there's a lot of gospel stuff in there as well, isn't there? And particularly the last little scene where the main character of the story dies, but it's the prayer that he... I've got the ending in mind, not just the one sentence there. But he, just before he died, he prayed a certain prayer, and it all encompassed being the glory of God and all of that sort of stuff. It was great. You think, come on, speak to people during this last little scene in this show. Fantastic. Now, if you've got a Bible, just turn to Acts chapter 2. We've been looking at that quite a bit recently. And you know, when God speaks about something, he puts it in a number of different ways so that we not just hear it loads of times, but we respond and begin to live it out more fully every time God speaks. And over the last few weeks, he's been speaking to us about being devoted to him and what that leads to, being devoted to him, being devoted to one another, being devoted to this whole dynamic of life that we're going to kind of look at this morning. And one of the other phrases he's been using with us is, come and buy gold refined in the fire. Come and let me work in your life. Let me bring to the surface those things that don't line up with me. Let me skim them off your life so that you're living a life that is purer, is cleaner, a life that is really worthy of me. But it's all not just relating to the Lord, is it? But it's all been relating to how as a church, when we respond to what God says and when we live our lives individually and together as a body in line with what God says, then it leads to neighbours and friends and the community and even the nation being touched by God and changed by God. I don't know about you guys, but over the last few weeks in particular, I know Jane and I, as we've been kind of just praying together, just sharing what God's been saying to us, and as things have been going on over the last few couple of months, really, in the life of the church, we've just been living with such a sense of destiny in these days. Such a sense of we're right in the purposes of God, and God's just speaking. They're kind of macro size things that he's talking about in terms of the nation, but yet we work this micro kind of earthing it, you know, in our everyday lives and what that means. And a few weeks ago, just to give a very quick recap so that the context of what we're talking about this morning, we understand how this fits into what God is saying and doing. A few weeks ago, there are a number of preaches that Pastor Colin gave. One was come and buy gold refined in the fire. And how God, in putting it a different way, was saying, I want you to be fully devoted to me and my purposes. Another word he brought was make every effort. that, you know, in our lives, we want to live fully for who God is. Not just attach God to the side of our life somehow when we need him, but that he is central to our very being, central to who we are, central to every decision we make, every action we take, every word we speak, everything that we do, but make every effort, pursue me, get after me. And then God began to use this word devote. And a few weeks ago, brought that word out of Job 11, where it says, if you devote yourself to him, and stretch out your hands before him, or stretch out your life before him. If you deal with sin in your hand and make sure there's no evil in your tent, then it says that we'll live in without fear, we'll live without shame, we'll live secure, we'll live stable. But then it says others will come because they want to court your favor. And when we kind of look at that phrase, court your favor, and how that linked to other scriptures, it talked about Egypt and Cush and Sabaeans. And Egypt represents that place of captivity, place of restriction, that place of bondage, if you like, that God brought the Israelites out of Egypt into freedom. And Cush represents the materialistic kind of secularized kind of Western world, if you like, in our terms. And Sabaeans represented every other religion that is out there. The word Sabi, as we heard, represents to change one's belief system. And how Sabaeans and the place where they were from was kind of southwestern Arabia, where Iraq is now, Babylon, as it's known in the Bible, and all that represents in the Middle East. And it's quite a strong word that God brought that week. But in that one verse, it talks about, if you devote yourselves to me, others are going to come and court your favor, and they're going to declare that the God that we serve is the only God. There is no other God apart from him. And it says that if we devote ourselves to him, then all of these other lifestyles, all of these other religions, all of the other things going on will come to the believers, if you like, to God's people, saying that you serve the one true living God, that there isn't all these other gods that they say there are, but actually you serve a living God, because they see a demonstration of who God is through the church, because the church is alive and kicking, because it's dealt with compromise and half-heartedness and all of the stuff that's going on, because it's a church that is on fire with the life of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah. Some of you just got out of bed this morning. Some of you been out of bed a bit longer. Some of you just need to wake yourself up and, right, oh, I'm in church. Right, here we go. I've got to respond here and be alive to whatever God's saying through the person at the front. Great. So we've been living with this sense of kind of destiny and purpose, and we've been sharing stuff, and Jane brought the word she did last week about devote yourselves to one another, the brotherly love aspect, and just some of the stuff she's been sharing me this week. It sounds like a really awesome time last Sunday. And now God wants to kind of take it on even more this week, and this week's word is called whatever it takes. Okay, so look at the person next to you, say whatever it takes. Okay, now we're going to just talk in the context of life groups or the life of the church this morning. Because there's going to be quite a number of changes in the next 2 or 3 weeks' time. And I just want to explain some of that and why and how it fits into what God is saying at the moment. So it might sound a little bit like, you know, we're talking about kind of church life, which we are, but we're talking about how that fits in the context of the bigger picture of what God is saying and doing. I don't know about you guys, but at this time, Jan and I, we just have such a sense at this time of, you know, everything's accelerating. Every day counts. What we do today is really important in terms of how we live and how we want God to use our lives every day in touching somebody else's life. Yeah. That our mentality of, well, maybe something will happen tomorrow. We don't want to live like that at all any longer, because today's the day that God wants to reveal himself into somebody else's life, or he wants to heal somebody today, or he wants to somehow do something in somebody's life. And for us, our heart is, God, use us today to affect somebody else's life, whether saved or unsaved, so that we see you move today, you touch lives today, you reveal yourself today, that we don't want to live for tomorrow, even though we're living for something more than we see today. We want to make sure that today we live fully everything that you want us to live. Because if you live today like that, then you want to live tomorrow like that. But if you think that, well, tomorrow I'll God do something in me tomorrow and use me tomorrow, then we won't live today fully. then when you get to tomorrow, you won't live tomorrow fully either, because you'll have a tomorrow mentality. Right? And we want a today mentality, that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that God wants to touch lives, change lives, and move through your life to touch somebody else's life. You have the power of God in you. You have the Holy Spirit in your life. You have everything you need to live life to the full today. Do you know that you don't have any needs any longer in your life? You don't have any need any longer in your life. On Tuesday, I was driving up to the Roffey place, up to the 8 o'clock meeting that we have every morning. And I was driving down one particular road, and they got some big houses down this road and nice cars and stuff. And as we were driving down that road, I got up that morning, I was praying, and God was talking to me from different verses in the Bible and stuff. And I was kind of like, God, you're awesome, you're brilliant, you know, I love you, and all this kind of stuff. I'm driving to the office, takes me about 5 minutes, and I'm just kind of going to the meeting, thanking God for a good day and all this sort of stuff. And as we drive, there's a number of houses along this particular road that are quite big, quite nice. And as I was driving along, it was like the Lord said to me, he said, you're richer than every person on this street. I'm like, come on. And he said, you're richer than every person on this street. He said, the world measures riches in what you have. Houses, cars, money in the bank and all of that. He said, but I measure riches by who I am. And he said, you're in me and I'm in you. Therefore, you lack nothing. Therefore, you never have, from today onwards, you've not got another, you'll never have another need in your life. He said, because your riches are not measured by the house you live in, the cars you drive, the money in the bank, or what you wear. He said, your riches are in me. And I lack nothing because I own everything. And he said, so whenever there's something I want to download into your life, it's yours. You haven't got to fight for it. You haven't got to want for it. You don't even have to desire for anything, because I have everything, because I am everything. And I had this kind of, yeah, that's it. I am, when I say rich, I don't just mean money wise. I just had this thing of, that's it. I am rich. I'm loaded. I'm loaded. I never have to worry about anything again in my life, because God's got it all sorted. You know, God can download in a moment something that's trying to take me a few minutes to explain to you guys. But suddenly I was driving along and it was like, boom, 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 boom. It was like, yes, that's it. I haven't got to worry about anything. I haven't got another need. God knows my needs before I even bring them to him. So if I'm walking with him, seeking first his kingdom and righteousness, it says everything else will follow. I'm thinking, this is great, this is cool. And we're going off to Israel next month, taking a bunch of about 30 people over to Israel, young people, 16 to 25 year olds, for a tour. And Julia and Norman are coming and helping to host the tour and everything. We're going to have an awesome time with these guys in Israel. And Jane and Megan weren't going to be coming. But the last few weeks, we've really been sensing, no, they need to come. It's right that they're coming. Toby and Joe, my other two lads, they're coming anyway. And we said, well, Father, you know, a few weeks ago, we haven't got the money to go. There's no way we can save it in the next few weeks. And we haven't got the finances to do it. And we know, you know, when you get a sense of God wants to do something, you kind of know, well, you know, we need to take some steps. But for me, I you know, when you're in faith, God always initiates faith.
That's right.
He'll always initiate faith. So when God says something, that initiates faith in you to know, well, that's it. He said it, so it's done. And I didn't have that, well, I've got it, it's done kind of thing. And when I was driving in that morning on Tuesday, I thought, that's it. Jane and Ben are going to come into Israel. The money's not even a problem. And we're in the meeting. Pastor Colin brought a great word about darkness and light. And it was really just, you know, I was sitting there writing this list on my page. Darkness, light. What you were in when you're in darkness, and what you're in now, you have light. And I just, because of what happened to me in the car on the way, I just kept reading abundance, provision, you know, overflow. You know, I've got everything. I'm loaded in every way. Spiritually, physically, mentally, health-wise, in every way. That's it. I haven't got to worry. I haven't got any needs. I was just writing all this stuff. He was preaching away, and I'm thinking, well, I'm writing all that and more down here. This is brilliant, you know. We got up, you know, to pray and respond at the end. And I said, Father, I thank you just for the release of all the money. That's it. I've got it. Somebody came up to me after the meeting and gave me a card and said, not from around here. They just were at the meeting and they say, oh, I just wanted to give you and your wife and your family a gift. And there was 500 quid in there. And then over the next couple of days, we got given another 300 quid from different places, different getting all that stuff. So we're halfway there in terms of the money. But it was just like this. That's it. It's done. They're coming to Israel. We never once have asked God for the money. I just knew that's it. They're coming to Israel because we haven't got any needs. You know, you've spoken to us, Father. So that's it. It's done. We're sorted. This hasn't got anything to do with what I'm going to talk about this morning. But anyway, we're just on a bit of a roll here. But God wants to give you that revelation as well. That because you have him in your life and he's in you and you're in him, you lack nothing. You have everything you need for life and godliness. You're a child of his and he looks after his children. And what I'm not talking about is you just roll out your list. God, this is what I'd like. Provide it for me. I'm talking about being content in who you are, in what God's doing in your life, where he's placed you. And as you walk with God, whatever needs to happen in your life, God's already got it sorted. So if you need provision in some way, he can do that and sort it out. You don't have to desire for it or want for it and that sort of thing. He provides along the way as you go with him. But you can look at that as a need and say, oh, I've got a need, so I've got a problem. Or you can say, no, this is the walk I've got. This is the next situation in front of me. Well, Father, I thank you. You're my provider. I thank you. You take care of it because you've already released it into my life. Whether that's healing, whether it's finance, whatever it is, wisdom, whatever you need, you have what you need today for whatever you need today. Now, how does that enable you to live? That enables you to live with a generosity of spirit. Because you know you haven't got any needs. That means you can be generous because, well, I lack nothing. And so whenever I give, whatever I'm giving, whether I give love, whether I give finances, whatever I give, then I can never outgive God. Therefore, he's going to supply everything that I need today according to his glorious riches in Christ because I don't need anything. Now, what does that mean in terms of our context? That means I can have a generosity of spirit. That means I can be generous to everybody in every way. I can be generous with my time. I can be generous with the things that I own, if you like. I can be generous in whatever because that's the kind of spirit that we have, a generous spirit that wants to give, that wants to bless, that wants to serve, that wants the best for everybody else. Now, if we kind of just bring it into this word devotion and some of the things God's been saying about being devoted to one another, being devoted is being single-minded. It's being single-hearted. When we hear the word devote, God wants to show us what he means by devotion, not what we mean by devotion. How many of you know when God says something, when you respond to it, the Holy Spirit then comes and graces you to live it? When God speaks, he'll always speak about something that's beyond our ability to do. But when you respond to that and take a step towards it, he then gives you the ability and the power of the Holy Spirit to then live the way that he's called you to live. So when we talk about devote ourselves to one another, sometimes we go, oh, I don't know if I really want to do that. Well, I don't really click with that person, or I don't really get on well with them, or they're not my kind of type. I don't really hit it off with them. I more get on with these people. It's easier to devote yourself to people you click with, isn't it? Or you've got something in common with. But actually, he's saying devote yourselves to one another. Give to one another. Serve one another. Bless one another. Honor one another. But when you make a decision, okay, God, I choose to devote myself then and respond to what you're saying, the grace then comes to live it. It's this dichotomy thing, isn't it? When we read Acts 2:42, Jesus had said to them, go to the upper room and wait there for the gift I'm going to send you. So they went there, and during those 10 days, they were praying. Then the Holy Spirit came. They all were baptized in the power of God. They then began to preach the gospel. A few thousand people got saved. Then it says in Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves. So they all 3,000 or more, gave themselves, devoted themselves in different ways. They devote themselves to the word. They devote themselves to the truth. They wanted to live their lives around the truth. They devote themselves to the fellowship, to one another. Now, I think Jane read some of this last week, but the word fellowship in this context here is called koinonia. is about sharing. It's about unity. It's about a close association. It's about partnership. It's about participation. It's about the communion of the believers together. It's like brotherhood. And the word koinonia, the unity is brought about by the Holy Spirit. There's a Holy Spirit thing that can only be accomplished by the Holy Spirit in terms of the way we love, the way we relate to one another. Koinonia is about the individual sharing in common an intimate bond of fellowship with the rest of the Christian community. And I'm sure she read this last week. Koinonia cements, great word, koinonia cements the believers to the Lord Jesus Christ and to one another. Now, laying your life down for somebody else is the complete opposite to everybody's natural tendencies. But often the word is totally opposite to our natural tendencies. That's why God gives the Holy Spirit to enable us to live what God says, which 99 times out of 100 seems to be opposite to what your natural self wants to do. Now, we're in the middle of changing a whole load of stuff to do with the life groups. Okay, so if I take a few minutes just to explain a couple of things. We've had life groups for a number of years, or whatever, covenant groups, life groups, whatever we've called them. And life groups really have been changing over the last couple of years in particular. And some have changed more than others. And maybe historically things have been quite meeting orientated in terms of life groups, covenant groups and all of that. But what God's been doing is he's been changing life groups to be much more of a dynamic of life together 7 days a week rather than the key thing being the meeting point in the week with the odd other kind of time together here or there. God's been kind of taking some of the walls down or some of the things in our thinking of life groups. And rather than thinking of groups, he wants us to think of a number of people just sharing life and doing life together. Okay? Now, a number of life groups have changed quite a lot in that direction, some a little bit and some not really. And one of the things that God has really spoken to me and the leadership about is everything in the church needs to be fit for purpose. Everything going on needs to be in line with what God is saying. And so therefore, we've been looking at stuff, talking through stuff, praying through things. And life groups is one of the things we've just been praying through and seeing what God is saying to us as a church. Now, there's three ways in which we talk about life groups. Now, if you've been to Jump Into Church, you'd have heard some of this stuff. But if you haven't, then you might not have, okay? There's three phrases we use for life groups. One is a connecting point. Third is relationship center. And the fourth is multiplying factor, okay? It sounds a little bit terminology, you know. But in everything you do, you've got to have purpose. In everything you do, you've got to know why you're doing it, okay? I don't know. Oh, he's up there. Whoever's putting that up, thanks a lot. At the back or in there or wherever. So there's three things. Connecting point, what is that? If the life groups are not about a meeting, but they're about life together, okay, about sharing life as it talks about in Acts 2:42 and onwards, they shared a life together. They devoted themselves to one another. They were in and out of each other's homes, in and out of each other's lives. And therefore, it was a connecting point. So whenever new people came in, you can't just relate to four or 500 people that meet together on a Sunday. You can only relate to something, you know, much smaller than that, where you can build relationships, share a dynamic of life and get into each other's lives and all of that. And some of the challenge of that is opening your life up to others, isn't it? Because we like to hide things, you know, and keep certain things kind of in certain closets or whatever in our lives, because, you know, but actually the Bible talks about walking in the light with one another, sharing openly with one another, not having anything to hide. And if we're walking in the light, there isn't anything to hide, is there? Should we change the subject or stay on the same one? And so it's a connecting point for people who, when they come into the life of the body, it's fine to come on a Sunday, but we want people to be more than just church attendees on a Sunday morning. We want people to be part of the life of something together, where they're building relationships, are in covenant with each other, sharing life, strengthening each other, being there for each other. When somebody's in need, helping to supply for that need. When somebody's going through struggles, helping to lift them up, you know. So sometimes some are really moving on strong at times. Others are going through things where the strong can help the weak. And then when the weak person's become really strong, the person who's been moving strong might be just struggling for a bit, and then vice versa, they can help each other. So we move together, arm in arm as a body, kind of strengthening, encouraging, spurring each other on in our relationship with God, spurring each other on to be devoted to the Lord, spurring each other on to this phrase we've been using, that in whatever shipping lane of life God has called you into, that you're running fully in that shipping lane. How many of you, when I say shipping lane, you haven't got a clue what I'm talking about? A few of you probably. God was saying to us a few weeks ago, he's taking the church out of the harbour and into the shipping lanes of life. In the shipping lanes, that's where everything's going on. There's a shipping lane for a business. There's a shipping lane for Israel. There's a shipping lane for abortion. There's a shipping lane for whatever you want to talk about out there in life. And God wants to place believers in every place of life to bring influence, to bring his kingdom. And as a church, you know, we've got such a fantastic variety of people. When I look out at you guys, you know, we've got all different ages, different colour skins, different backgrounds, different skills, different expertise. It's awesome, the kind of people that we've got in this church. It's amazing. You're amazing. It's brilliant just to see people sitting next to each other that if you weren't saved, you'd never sit next to them. You wouldn't even get on, would you? Somebody just turn to the person next to you and just kind of give them that amazed look for a moment. But that's why the body of Christ is so awesome, because people out there who feel isolated, who feel alone, who feel they're not worthy, not good enough, living in shame or whatever, where's the only place on planet Earth where somebody can feel acceptance? It really is the body of it's only the body of Christ. Where somebody can come dressed in a suit with a tie, yet the person they're sitting next to has got ripped jeans and a t-shirt on, pink hair, blue rinse or whatever, and the person next is very slick and very suave. Why? Because the thing that unites us is Jesus Christ. Where you don't feel like you have to dress up and be a certain way, otherwise you don't fit in. You can turn up looking a bit of a scruff, or you can turn up looking like you're $1 million. It doesn't really matter, because nobody's looking at the outward appearance and whether that makes you acceptable or not. People are looking into your life and into your heart, saying, I want to get to know you. I want to get alongside you. I want to bless you. I want to help you, spur you on in whatever God wants to do in your life, so that we're living beyond our own life and we're living for the benefit of somebody else's. One of the things we said the other day, wasn't it, that the immature will only carry what they need to for themselves. Remember that? I can run around with this and it would not affect the way I run, the way I walk. It's not going to make me feel tired, because it's just some little thing that's only going to benefit me. Whereas actually, if we're carriers of what God wants to do, then we're picking up something that is not easy to carry, not easy to walk with. It affects the way you walk. It affects the way you do things, because you're being more mature and you're carrying something that is more than just for your own benefit. You're carrying something that's going to benefit other people's lives. Now, in one sense, that's what life groups are all about. It's not what do I get out of it. What you get out of it is what you put into it. But we're not just talking about a group. We're talking about the life of the church. What you put in, you will get out multiplied. So they're a connecting point for people, new people coming in to find this dynamic of life together. Because it's not about structure, it's about life, okay? The second thing, they are relationship centre. This is where the life of the church is really to be worked out, okay? This is where we want to spur each other on in terms of what God's saying to us corporately together, and how we live in that out and working out in our everyday world, in one sense. And so part of the life group leader's responsibility is to be kind of listening and taking hold of what God is saying. As a leadership, we're helping the life group leaders, but we want the life group leaders increasingly to Just really help the dynamic of what God is saying and doing to be worked out through the whole body. Because life group leaders have more contact with you guys week, day in, day out than I do or some of the leadership do. And so therefore, we want things to flow through the whole life of the body. But their relationship center, where we're doing life together, sharing life together, it's really where the heart of the church is being worked out. And then the third part is this multiplying factor, that the groups are moving out. They're not just staying with the same 15, 20, 25 people forever. But as relationships develop, as we're reaching out to people, those groups grow. We have to then start new ones. And some of them are more mission focused, like the ones in South Homes, very focused on reaching that whole community. Others, because they're not so geographical, maybe it's very relational and reaching out to people in the workplace or in your particular worlds. But as you see people respond, things grow, and then we need to kind of start new groups and everything. So it's a place of growth for new believers, a place of growth to develop leadership. It's a place of growth for all of our lives, and it's a place of growth in terms of not just spiritually but also numerically to kind of move into what God is saying. Now, there are going to be some life groups that are changing a little bit. There might only be one or two new people coming into your groups. There are other life groups that are going to be completely finishing, and because maybe the leaders are stepping down and they're moving into something else. And there's a whole bunch of new leaders that are going to be coming into place, new groups beginning in about 3 or 4 weeks' time. And it's going to be, but what we've wanted to do is make sure that the life groups are really carrying the whole ethos and culture of what God is saying about this dynamic of life, about being devoted to Him, to one another, and really this dynamic of life where some of the phrases that we've used, where we're enjoying the journey, we're living life and loving it, we're celebrating what God is doing today because of what He's doing, but also looking forward to what He is going to do. But we want to share this dynamic of life as a church. Have we got the next slide? Right. If we can just kind of use a couple of pictures for a minute. Some of you might have seen these before when we've done things. But if we talk about this dynamic of life that we have as a church, this dynamic of life that you have in you, that you're a carrier of that life. Meetings and events and all that, they don't carry life. You carry life. So you determine the whole environment that is around your life by the way you are. You might have the fullness of God in your life, but if you walk around like a wet blanket, nobody's going to know it, are they? I mean, you can have Jesus, the King of Kings, in your life, but for some reason you can be walking around like, oh man, you know, and everybody looks at your life and says, what's up with you? Now, I'm not saying there aren't problems and issues in our lives, okay? But there are two ways of dealing with them. You can either walk under them, or you can start getting victory over them. And you start getting victory over them by applying the truth and applying certain things in your life to help you not be under something, but over it. So that when you're dealing with an issue, you walk through it in a positive way rather than let it walk through your life and take you out. Okay? Now, this life that we share, everything in one sense flows into it. And I've written a few things down here. Whether it's an outreach, whether it's a youth work, men's or women's stuff, Sunday meetings, one-to-one outreach, whether it's an event or the workplace. In one sense, everything comes in, if we have the next slide up as well. But also everything goes out from that place. So we're not saying that Sunday morning is the central focus of the life of the church, because it's not. The central focus of this church is the life we have together. And that's worked out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is just for 2 hours or so on a Sunday when we all meet together in this context, praise God, worship, have some word, respond, be encouraged, be challenged, be strengthened, where we have bits of information, what's going on in church life and all this kind of stuff. This is a meeting point for a reason, for a purpose, but this in itself will never ever fulfill the full purpose of the church. This is a gathering point. For me, this isn't church in and of itself. We don't come to church on a Sunday morning. We come to a meeting together that is the church. When you might meet, it might be a midweek where the life group gets together. You might all be meeting today for lunch and all the kids are there and everybody's together. That's church. You might be down the park, your life group, or a whole bunch of guys in the church from, it doesn't matter who you are, but what are you doing? You're the church there. Because the church is alive, it's kicking. The church isn't just meetings or meeting points like in a building. The church is the body of Christ, living the life that he's called us to live. And so we're moving away from any kind of meeting mentality to sharing life and doing life together. And so this covenant life that we have, this is really the heart and the life of the church. So no matter what contact people have with you, they'll find something of the life and dynamic of what we have in whatever setting that you're in. Pastor Jonathan Dyke, he's still in Australia. He texted me the other day and he said, good day, mate. You know, in his text, good day, mate. And he said, on the beach, 35 degrees centigrade, loving it. And I sent him a text about, I bet you are. And so he's been texting, but he's only been texting what a great time he's been having. The sunshine, the sea, and all of that. It's like, oh, praise God. Not jealous at all. And he's back next week, so we can give him some jip for going away for a month. But one of the things he says is, in whatever context we're together in the life of the church, it should be like a cake, where if you cut a slice out of that, you'll find a bit of everything that cake is in any slice. So it's not like here's one slice and that's worship, and here's one slice and that's prayer, here's one slice and that's pastoral care, here's one slice and that's outreach. It's like whatever dynamic is going on with a bunch of guys in the life of the church, whether it's in a life group setting or just people meeting up and doing whatever, if you took a slice out of that time people are together, you should find a slice of everything in the life of the church, because it's full of, once you've made a cake, you can't separate the ingredients. They're all mashed together. And at any given moment, you take a bite and you're like, wow, I can taste the chocolate. Oh, wow, I can taste the ginger or whatever. I don't know if you have chocolate and ginger together. You don't in my house anyway. But let's put it a better way. You can taste the apple in the apple crumble. You can taste the biscuit on the top. You can taste the custard that is just... Oh. So so in any bite of crumble with custard, you can taste all the different, the bit of cinnamon, you can taste it all in there, right? And once you've mixed it, you can't, oh man, I just want custard on its own without the apple bit, but you can't separate it. Why? Because God wants this life to be flowing through everything. Whatever dynamic is flowing through everything we do, you know what I mean? So you're at work and you get in a conversation and suddenly you just find this compassion starts to flow out of you. You just feel compassion towards somebody. Somebody that might normally bug you, suddenly you find this, you just feel compassionate towards them. I think for me, probably the most compassionate moment I've ever had for somebody that you just wouldn't naturally have compassion for was a number of years ago when we were in Israel. We met a certain person he's not alive now, but known as an international terrorist. And we met... we had this meeting with them for about an hour, and everything in me, my mind was going, you ought to hate this bloke for what he does. You shouldn't like this bloke. But yet everything in me was just compassionate towards this bloke. And all I could find myself doing in this meeting was, God, touch his life. God, save him. God, reveal yourself to him. God, show yourself to who you are. And there are a number of Christians that prayed with that man and gave him the gospel at different times. But it was like that. Now, in the natural, that would be the one situation where I'd be like, I don't even want to meet the bloke. Or I don't even, you know. But yet, there was this compassion that was, God, have mercy on him. God, show your mercy. God, touch his life. God, and I was sitting there along with others, and a number of others had the same thing going on. You just felt compassion. Why? Because that is God's heart. So no matter what situation you're in, you're with people in the church, you're meeting up. One minute there can be that, come on, let's pray together and get in there with God. The next minute it can be, you know, something different, because in that slice of cake, there's everything that God's doing in us at any given moment. So a life group can be evangelistic, a life group can be encouraging, a life group can be pastoral, a life group can be sharing life, meeting each other's needs. It can be all sorts of things. That's why for me, life groups are not just just meet in somebody's house, have a bit of a prayer and a bit of a Bible study together so that we do church. Man, let's kick all that out of the window. The last thing we ever want to do in this church is just do church. What we want to do is share life together and live it to the full, right? And we want to have a great time doing it. Well, I do anyway. Yeah. I want to apologise a little bit because over the last year or so, I've been reviewing a bit of some of the way I've been. I've got a little bit serious as well. And we've got to be serious about the things of God, right? Absolutely. But I know I've got a bit too serious about some things, the way I've been a bit, and I need to lighten up a little bit in certain things. Because if I lighten up, you guys will lighten up. Right? I don't mean we just come out with loads of jokes every Sunday morning, but I know I've got quite serious over the last 12 months and a bit heavy about certain things, about myself and my own life, and that must communicate in some way to you guys in the life of the church as well. But I know over the last few days, you know, it's like when I was praying last night, it's like God saying, Clive, just lighten up, mate, enjoy the journey, have a great time. You're totally serious about what you're doing, absolutely. But let's just have a great time getting there as well. Let's celebrate, let's laugh, let's enjoy one another. You know, we're the happiest people on the planet. And people out there, people who don't know the Lord, some of you this morning might not know the Lord. You might not have ever given your life to the Lord. Man, the last thing you want is to come into a place and look like we're all cheesed off with life and that we're just doing the God a favour by turning up on Sunday morning to pitch in and say, well, we'll come and worship you for a couple of hours, but we're naffed off with life, you know. It's like we're coming together because Jesus is the most amazing person that there is, as have been and ever will be. And yeah, we all have issues and stuff to work with. But man, when you've got God in your life, it is so much easier working through stuff than when you try and do it in your own effort, in your own strength. Isn't it? Man, we have so much to give to one another as well as to other people. So life groups, they're going to be changing quite a bit in a few weeks' time. And we're still working through some of those changes because it was a bit more than we thought it was going to be, wasn't it? Yeah, Pastor Gary's kind of asleep there because he's been working on it loads. So we're kind of getting to the end along with some of the others who are part of a development team for that. And just about getting there, hopefully this week we'll get it sorted, all right? And then in a couple of weeks' time, not next Sunday, but the one after. It's funny how we use our hands, not next Sunday, but the one after. Got the spirit of Peter Kay, not next week, but the week after. You know, the Tinternet and all that, whatever. And so in a couple of weeks' time, what we're going to do on that morning is we'll give you all some info with a bit of an outline of life groups, old ethos and what the purposes of them are. And then in that letter, there'll be some information about what life group you're in, who your life group leaders are. For some of you, not a lot will change, but something will. Maybe for others, it'll be a radical change. But you're living life and loving it, okay? And, you know, I know it's easy to say things from the stage, but, you know, but the Holy Spirit graces us to do whatever God wants us to do. And the thing is, if we're reaching people, our life is never going to be the same every day, is it? Just trying to think which way I'm walking. Darkness over there, light over here. If we're reaching people, you never know exactly how each day is going to go, right? I mean, last week, apparently, Jane, towards the beginning, said, right, now, go, everybody stand up and go and sit next to somebody you don't know, yeah? Now, how many of you were like, ooh, at first, be honest, when she first said it, your first reaction was, I feel uncomfortable for a moment. Anybody? Oh, you're all liars. Come on. Or maybe you're more secure than I thought you were. There's only two insecure people in the whole church. Praise God. Okay, Gary, you're out of a job, mate. There's no pastoral department anymore. Okay. Everybody's so secure. It's brilliant. You've done a fantastic job. Actually, stand up, Gary. He's done such a fantastic job that there's... Right, let's stand up, shall we? It's 10:10. 11. Checking you're listening. My watch keeps stopping, actually. It's got a problem with it at the moment. But anyway, it stopped at 9:30, so I've got an hour and a half to go yet. One of the things we did a little while ago in the church was we said that Sunday was like a people day. And I know every day is a people day, but in life, everybody seems to be pretty busy these days. Work times aren't just 9 to 5 anymore. Shifts and people, you know, people working later, and a lot of children, you know, they have clubs and home. There's lots of stuff that goes on, isn't there, in life? And but we kind of said that Sunday, the world seems to have a day off on Sunday. Saturday seems to be busy, doesn't it? Where, although Sunday mornings are busy at Tesco's, aren't they? And Sainsbury's at the moment. We need to change that. We need to be busy in here. And, you know, not just everybody's having a great time. Well, they're not having a great time at Tesco's, although they're spending loads of money on stuff they don't really want to spend their money on, but they have to, otherwise they'll starve. So people go because they have to. But I'm just in my own little world this morning. Is that all right? I'm just... but Sunday's a great day for spending time with people and just having people round your house or inviting yourself subtly round to somebody else's house. You know, so the best way to do that, right, is to, if you really want to go round to somebody's house, have dinner with them, lunch with them, either because you like their house or you like their company or you just want to, you know, get to know them a bit, whatever your motive, is give them a call and say, hey, it'd be great to get together for lunch one Sunday. Do you want to come round our place? Or if not, it'd be great to meet round at your house. Okay? So that's a way to kind of do that. You all know that now, so you'll suss each other out. Oh. But that's how to invite yourself around somebody else's house. We'd really love you to come around our house, but if you prefer, we'd love to come to your house. It works quite well. It does with us, doesn't it? So anyway, it's great. Now, Sunday's a people day, so we want to encourage you to use Sunday to hang out with people. Whether they're people you know in the church, whether they're friends, neighbours, whoever it might be, saved or unsaved, you know, people that know the Lord, people who don't, whatever. Especially as now we're coming into kind of summertime in faith, that the clouds will part over this country and we will be able to have a barbecue at least a couple of weekends this year instead of last year's. Kind of Noah, get your boat out because this could be the end of the world, the amount of rain that we're getting. We're praying for a parting of the Red Sea this summer in this, so that at least we get some dry ground to have a barbecue or whatever. But this is a great time to begin to invite people around. It's very relaxed and the weather's warming up and whatnot. But spend time with people. Invest in people. What you sow is what you reap. Sow into somebody else's life and you begin, things are going to start reaping in yours. Sow love, you receive love. Sow honour, you receive honour. If you sow by serving people, people start serving you. Not just from the, I'll do anything for you, but people just want to be with you and want to bless you. Why? Because when you give, you create an environment around you that is generous. And when you're generous, people want to be with you. Partly because you're being generous, but also what happens is something rubs off on them and they then want to be generous as well. Because what they're picking up from you is every time I'm with them, they just bless me. I feel lifted. Whenever I walk away from their home, I always feel, I want to go back and spend time with them because they always just, I don't know what they do, but they just bless me. Now, if you want to be like that, it doesn't actually take a lot. It just means inviting somebody round, have a meal, come round, do this, hang out, come for tea. Or whatever. Tea. Come for tea. Sounds very, you know. But just invite them round and just give to people, love people, spend some time with them. And what you find is something gets sparked in you, gets released in you and all of that in a fresh way because you're giving. You're beginning to carry something that's more than yourself. You're beginning to give something away. And so as we go into this kind of next season and a lot of life groups are going to change, we're trying to make them, we're trying to put all the right people in the right things and just make them really easy and really cool and a bit more geographical so where you live and all of that. But what you give in, what you, not give into them, what you put into them will be what it will become. What you sow is what you reap. So whoever group you're in, honour the leaders, right? But God wants to release giftings in that place. You might be brilliant at hosting. having people around your house and creating a great environment for people. Well, enjoy that gift that God has given you. And we've tried to kind of put people in groups that are brilliant at hosting and everything, so that, you know, you can use that gift to bless other people. And then the leaders can get on and do certain things in the group. But we want to release people's giftings, release what you have, release that into other people's lives. And some of you are going to get more of a vision, real heart for your community, where you are, because some of the others that are with you. And I think some of the other groups where we know people have got a heart for things, you know, trying to put people together that we know have got the same heart for something and everything, just to help spark you guys and to get you really looking out and reaching people in a fresh way. So we've kind of been praying through this stuff, working through this stuff, and we want to get it right. We might not get it all 100%, but we're having a go. And so be gracious as you go into these things in about 3-4 weeks' time, okay? But it's going to just spark some new stuff. So life groups are this connecting point, this relationship center, a multiplying factor. God wants to multiply your life into other people's lives, so you're a blessing into other people's lives. You got everything you need for life and godliness. You don't have a need anymore because your riches are in Him and He's in you. Amen. Let's just pray, shall we? Just close your eyes a moment. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for this church. Father, I thank you for every person in it. Father, I'm just blessed being part of this church. I look around at the people, the quality of people that are in this church, just the characters, the personalities, the giftings, the skills, and all of the different people that are in this place and others that aren't here this morning for various reasons. Father, I thank you for every person in the body here. I thank you. You brought everybody to play a part, to be a certain member, if you like, to be a certain part of the body, to bring life into the body, to be part of the health of the body. And Father, I thank you that every person in this place will be blessed beyond anything they could ask or imagine. As they sow their lives into the church, you would multiply back to them more abundantly than they could ever give anything into the life of the church. Father, Acts 2:42 and those few verses that follow. Father, I don't know about anybody else, but I long to see that happen more and more, that we're devoted to you. We're devoting ourselves, firstly, but we're devoting ourselves to the word, to the sharing of life, to the breaking of bread, to prayer, that the fear of God was upon the whole people. The power of God was just being released all over the shop and people being saved and healed and delivered. Towards the end of that passage, it's amazing what it says. And it says they had the favor of all of the people. Now, that's not just talking about the Christians. It said they had the favor of all of the people. What does it say in Job 11 there? If you devote yourselves to him, stretch out your hands before him, deal with sin in your hand, and don't let any evil in your tent. Certain things it says follows, but the last verse in that little section said, and they will come to court your favor. I tell you, if we give ourselves to this dynamic of life and to one another in increasing ways, the favor of God is upon us with all of the people.
That's right.
In a couple of weeks' time, on a Sunday morning, we're going to be talking about having a generous spirit. And we're going to hear some testimonies of some things that are going on in the life of the church. Some of you don't know are going on. We're going to have quite a few testimonies that morning, right? And you're going to be blown away at some of the things that God is doing. It's awesome what he's doing in people's lives. But it's as people are being generous in terms of the way they are as people, but as they've been trusting God and stepping out, it's awesome to see. But it's the favor of God that is going with it, where we've got people from the health service, from the local authority, from different places that are coming to us and saying, we want to refer people to you, or what can we do to help you? You know, the local authority is saying for different things, if you stop doing that, there'll be a hole in the community, that there won't be anybody else meeting that need or doing certain things. That's awesome, isn't it? As we give ourselves, you know, others are going to come and court our favor, not just because we're any great shakes, but because of what God is doing through us as a body of people. Father, I thank you that as we honor you, you honor us, but then others court our favor because you're on the move and lives are getting changed. So Father, I thank you that this week is a week of abundance,
yes,
a week of blessing, that we can be generous this week into other people's lives. Father, we thank you that on Good Friday, it's a day of celebration of the victory of what you've accomplished on the cross, And the 6 o'clock meeting we have here, people will be saved in that time. Next Sunday, Easter Day, we're going to see people saved on that day. A great celebration as we come together with all the children, all the young people as well. A morning of celebrating your goodness together as a church. We thank you for your abundant life together. And everybody said, amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Right, just quickly, we're going to pray. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you're not a Christian, and you want to take that first step and say, man, I want this life that you guys have been talking about this morning. I want this relationship with God. Then you can begin that this morning. And we're just going to pray very briefly, but then afterwards we'd love to pray with you and help you really to introduce you to Jesus and help you to begin that dynamic relationship that is just awesome in your life. You're just going to step into purpose and destiny and suddenly find, this is why I'm alive. This is why I'm here. I'm here to know Jesus. But then everything else suddenly becomes, hey, that's what life's all about, because you've found the author of life, who is Jesus. If you want to take that first step this morning, you can just pray and make an initial response. But then we'd love to pray with you and talk with you afterwards. You can just put it into your own words. But firstly, you're just coming before the Lord saying, God, I want you to forgive me for everything that I've ever done. I want to turn away from that this morning. And I choose to turn away from the sin that has separated me from you. All the stuff that is doing my head in, I just turn away from that right now. And I choose right now to give my life to you and ask you that you would come and live in me. I want to begin this relationship with you. I want this day to be the first day of the rest of my life, yes, where I start with a clean sheet of paper, where this life I have lived is finished, and that you bring your forgiveness into my life. You start me with a clean sheet of paper, and that I find a new destiny in you today. Thank you, Jesus. If anybody prayed that, I just want to quickly raise one of your hands quickly. Everybody else is not looking around. I want you just to raise your hand because I'd love to pray for you. Somebody over there, thank you, mate. Father, I just pray for that man that has just responded to you. Holy Spirit, I ask you that you would just seal in his heart this morning, in his life, the forgiveness of his sins and the beginning of a whole new life in you. Father, I just pray whoever talks to him and prays him afterwards, you would just bless that conversation. That would just be that new beginning for him, and that it will step into his destiny that you've set before the beginning of time for his life in 2008 and beyond. So, Father, we thank you for your goodness. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.